taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40, and it's on page 1028 in the Church Bible. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took the baby Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what he said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord.
Always obedient to my wife.
Let me pray for them. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are with us today. We pray for Clive, that he will bring your message to us. And we pray that you will open our hearts to receive the message that you have for each one of us, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Good to be here, and it's about looking back and looking forward. I was reminded of a little phrase that says, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, and today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. But we mustn't dwell on, really, on any of those, because when you're in the moment of today, that is what we have. This is what you've got. This is how it is today. And as Anne said last I was going to say last year, but this year, we spoke, and we both looked at what we brought, and it's all very kind of classic stuff, really. I've written down at the end of my talk the last time, God is prepared to protect his plan. And I think that's important for us to know that God has a plan for St. Mary's. And I know within this scripture, I'm just going to have a little look at that with you. To look at this plan that God had that's revealed here. I mean, it's interesting to me that Simeon was there at the time. It says he was righteous and devout. But a lot had to happen before this took place. Also interesting that it's 40 days before Jesus is taken into this situation he was in on that day, as indeed it was 40 days he spent in the desert, and the Israelites spent there 40 years. There seems to be a lot about 40, doesn't there? And most of us are past that. A lot of you can look shocked because you're not past it, but, you know, be blessed in the fact that you're not yet. So we're looking at this particular scripture, but looking back and looking forward, and I really want to take this opportunity to close the year on looking ahead at what I believe is a St. Mary's situation. Mainly because we know Martin's coming next Sunday, and we need to be praying for him about that. But also, we want to know, don't we, about our future. What is God saying to us? I'm going to sing you a song now. Everybody, you know, you can do that. And you can join in if you want. How to get people's attention, yes. When I was just a little boy, I asked my mother, what would I be? Will I be handsome? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. Well done. You did that ever so well. Well, yeah. But the reason I did that was because, thanks to my mum, I became a believer. And I was confirmed into the Anglican Church at Holy Trinity Brompton when it was a church like this one. And I found this the other day. This is my card that I got when I got confirmed. The only thing missing, there was a little cross on there which somehow got lost in the 57 years since that was done. Done by my vicar, Selwyn Cox, a really nice guy. And he took me through the confirmation and all of those different things. And on here it says, Defend, O Lord, this thy servant with thy heavenly grace, that he may continue thine forever, and daily increase in thy Holy Spirit more and more, until he comes unto thy everlasting kingdom. And I was reading through that the other day, and I thought, yes, you know, the Lord and the Holy Spirit have been with me all the time, even when I got it wrong. And I thought, well, when I got that card, what did I think? Didn't think anything. I was quite young, so I don't think I had any spiritual ideas or think about me doing anything for the Lord. But I believe that the Lord had the plans then. Plans to, as the Bible says, to prosper me, and to give me a good future. 57 years ago, December 1960. And I've got a little list here of what's happened since then. So bear with me. Since then, I left the faith and I rejoined the faith. I was baptised in water as an adult. I became a church leader in Surbiton, East Grinstead, and a leader and elder in Burr Heath. I've been on mission and led teams to Kenya, Malawi, Romania, Ghana, and in the UK. Evangelism and discipleship's become my raison d'etre and mission in life. I've seen many, many miracles, and many who came to know the Lord, and have taken many baptisms in all the countries I've visited, in the sea in Mombasa, in a bath in Romania, and even in a swimming pool in Burheath. I've worked for many years in Kenya, rural areas, and in the towns travelling all over, also working with the Maasai in their villages and forest areas. How could I have seen that when I got that? I couldn't have seen that. But within it, I had to make those choices of what to do. So where is St. Mary's going? It's complicated, isn't it? I believe we've got an amazing future because God wants only the best for us. I know we've all heard this before, and to some it may become a bit of a cliche. I now know that God has a plan for my life, but I couldn't have foreseen it. Equally, God has a plan for St. Mary's. And who can say it will not be good? There's no question that God wants the best for us. And you can all nod. Yes, he wants the best for us. The scripture today tells us about the ongoing story of the life of Jesus. All the prophecies about Jesus coming are being fulfilled in these scriptures and the other gospels. The wonderful thing is that the complicated web that God weaves is now being seen and understood, partially. Simeon understood, Anna understood. If we look at various books in the Bible, we can see the way God works. For me, one of the special books is the book of Ruth. I can read it again and again, and I always pick up another detail. In that book, he tells a factual account of the part of the history of Jesus. And when you think of that complicated stuff that goes on, but think about the people I'm mentioning here. They would have had heartache, they'd be distraught, they'd be worried, very little joy until eventually they do get that joy. The book of Ruth. Elimelech leaves because of a famine. So it would have been hardship. So much so he dies in the Moab, in Moab where he'd gone to. Naomi's sons die, having married Ruth and Orpah. Naomi returns home after these tragedies, but Ruth insists on going with her. Eventually, Ruth meets Boaz, who manages to redeem her for his wife. A child is born, named Obed, the father of Jesse, grandfather of David. It's complicated, and something we can only sit back and observe. And at the end of that story, it talks about the genealogy of David, the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nashon, Nashon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David. But you knew all that. But as I say, it's complicated. God does all this. God's planning all this ahead here. For that moment when Simeon comes up, all the generations that have gone before, as we read in the first chapters of Matthew and Luke about that genealogy. And Ruth is mentioned in that. One of them is she's the only woman that's actually mentioned. We know then that God has a plan, but we cannot see it. We pray for help. We seek prophecy, but nothing comes easily, or it seems, without pain. Likewise, you all know about Naaman's healing. It's equally complicated. Bands of raiders leave Aram and take captive a young girl from Israel. She would have been terrified at this. Maybe her parents had seen it happen, distraught and worried about her. However, it was that girl that told Naaman about Elisha. And Naaman goes to him to be healed. If the girl had not been taken away, Naaman would not have heard about Elisha. And we wouldn't have had that story in the scriptures. As I said, it's complicated. God weaves a complicated plan. Within that plan, he does lots of practical things. One of the things I like is that the Romans came and took over everywhere, and they built lots of roads, and they say that all roads lead to Rome. But I like to say that all roads also lead out of Rome. And if they hadn't built the roads, then the apostles and disciples wouldn't have been able to embark on those roads and take the gospel message out. So it's a paradox. God has a plan for us, but it's complicated. We may only be playing a small part of it. We've got to hold on to the fact that we are part of that plan, however difficult it may have been this year, for example. When we spoke last on the 1st of January, we would never have dreamed what was about to happen. When I stepped down from the management team, if I'd known what was going to happen, I would not have done that. But the Lord said to do that, and I did it because we were doing so many missions this year. And we prayed a lot. We've all prayed. We've seen lots of things happen this year. Situation with Ian's daughter. Very sad for Rachel. But somehow, it's part of God's plan. We can't see it. When we read the book of Ruth and we see that her sons died and then she had to go back and all those terrible things happened to her, she didn't say, oh, it's God's plan, it's okay. She went back and said, don't call me Naomi anymore, call me Mara, which means bitter. We must stand firm in our beliefs. And I wanted to just look at this book here. Do you remember this year, or when it came out? It talks about St. Mary's. And I would encourage you to dig it out of the bookcase where you have it, hidden, and read it, because it will encourage you. I wanted to make a list of all the people that led here, but I read in the back, in this little sleeve thing, you'll see it's very interesting. Because this church has been here 100 years. 100 years plus now. And we weren't here at the beginning of that. Somehow God decided, let's put a church there. And he spoke to the people who raised the funds. He spoke to the people who did the planning. And all the challenges they had that were against it. And now we're in a place now where we're being challenged. So I'm just going to read through very quickly. In 1901, the land was purchased and donated. In 1905, the Reverend Buckle died and succeeded by the Reverend Woodruff. 1906, resolution was passed at a meeting in the Banstead Church Institute to build this church. It's quick to say it, isn't it? You know, you say that quickly, but I wonder how much that took to actually set up and get on with it. 1907, plans for the new church were approved. The fundraising events held. Helen Coleman and sons contribute £2,000 to the cost of the building. 1908, foundation stone was laid. 1909, the last service was held at Nork. Okay, remember the name Nork, do you? Yeah, Nork Chapel, okay. And January 23rd, dedication of St. Mary's Church. 1911, consecration of the church. 1915, Coleman and Sons donate the organ. 1919, War Memorial was erected. 1929, St. Monica's Chapel built to the plans by Sir John Comper. 1937, St. Mary's is constituted a parish. 1939, vicar called up for duty as army chaplain. 1943, the vicar returns, hallelujah, to St. Mary's. 1948, I was just two. War Memorial rededicated. 1951, dedication of St. Mark's Church Hall. 1952, Mr. Scott Barrett and Mr. Cutts ordained as priests in St. Mary's Church. 1962, Reverend Bird leaves St. Mary's to take on the post in the Walton on the Hill. Peter Henry Geek is appointed vicar here. 1963, the vicar applies. You'll like this. 1963, the vicar applies and fails to get permission to demolish and replace St Mary's with a petrol filling station and garage. But when you say that, you think, oh yes, but I wonder how many people here like gathered to pray about all that. We don't want that. We want that to be, you know, we want St Mary's to carry on. We don't want a petrol station here. The old vicarage in 1965 was sold. 75, PCC recommends 14 votes to 5, with one abstention. This is 1975. They voted to make St Mary's Church redundant. Do we look redundant? No, we don't. 1977, proposal for redundancy submitted. Representations against proposals were rejected. 1979, appeal against the closure heard by a judicial committee. In 1980, the appeal was allowed and St Mary's is saved. Yes. 1999, offer by the vicar of St Paul's Hill to transfer care of St Mary's to St Paul's fails to register interest, it says. 2002, partnership between St Paul's and St Mary's. 2003, formal transfer between St Paul's and St Mary's. 2006, coffee shop acquired and opened for business. And autumn of 2007, the servery was installed for refreshments. 2008, the car park was built. 2009, St Mary's celebrates 100 years of continued worship. Like I say, isn't it complicated what God does? Why can't he just, you know, let's get on with it and seek what God is saying here. And I know I'm preempting something because I haven't got a clue what Martin's going to say next week. But what I do know is St Mary's is continuing in our hearts as a church family. We can't be changed. We are together right now, this morning. So God has a plan for us, but it is complicated. We may only be playing a small part of it. And we've been here for over 100 years. I might look it, but not me personally. Others have been before us. Others will come after us. You could say that God's plan will prevail despite us. So we must stand firm in our beliefs that the Lord is with us. He will be our strength and our guide. We need to pray for Martin and be ready to receive what he brings and also to be encouraged. And I wanted to tell you today to be encouraged as we step into the new year. You know that in Africa they have a tradition where what they want for the new year, they write on a piece of paper, they wrap it around a rock, and they throw it into their imaginary new year in the hope that when they get there, that's what will happen. So whatever you're thinking and whatever you're praying for, think about it for the future, but think about it corporately. Let's not just think about ourselves, but let's think about, you know, what Kennedy said, you know, what you do. Don't think about what St Mary's can do for you, but what you can do for St Mary's. In the coming year, I believe we're going to be really busy on behalf of St Mary's and on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ in this area. Don't look back, otherwise we're going to have everyone a pillar of salt sitting here. Don't look back, because in the new year is going to be really good. How do I know that? Because God has promised that he wants the best for us in this place. Let's pray. Lord, we offer up our prayers to you, and we ask, Father, that you will help us in this new year. Help us, Lord, to stand firm in this place that you began 100 years ago. I pray, Lord, it'll still be here in 100 years from now. And like the list I read out, we'll be part of that list in the future of what happened. And we want that to be a good part of that list, Lord. So we pray for your help. We pray for our leaders. We pray for the management team and for Martin as they look forward into the new year. We ask you just to bless it, Lord. Bless our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.